This is Backstory, a daily conversation with New York Times reporters on the stories they're covering. I'm Katherine Herzog of New York Times Radio. Today we hear from reporter Stephen Erlinger on the current situation in Gaza and Egypt as thousands of Palestinians continue to cross the border at Rafah. He spoke with reporter Graham Boley.
You were at the Rafah border crossing today. Could you describe the scene again today there?
Egypt tried to shut down the border, which is going to be very difficult to do, and I suspect will take a matter of days. They lined up soldiers, border police, riot police, all along in human chains to try to stop Palestinians from coming in. I mean, they were certainly letting Palestinians leave Gaza, but the border is knocked down along probably almost a mile in length in different places, so it's very hard to do. And there was some aggression, so a few rock throwers, some use of water cannon. And then a bulldozer came and knocked down even more of the wall that is between Gaza and the actual border itself, the wall that the Israelis had built, and knocked through a few more places where the Egyptians couldn't reach quickly, and they pulled back. Some of these new breaches are now wide enough for cars to drive through. My guess is that the Egyptians aren't going to put up with this for too many more days, but Hamas is trying to push them to talk to Hamas about regulating the border and leaving it open. It's a very awkward time for the Egyptians.
You were there on Wednesday when, just before dawn, the wall first fell, and you've been talking to Palestinians who've been rushing across and coming back with goods. Talking to them, what has been your sense of what they're feeling, and as they cross and come back? And is this a political statement they're making, or is it more simply about the human desire to improve their life?
Hamas made a political statement by breaching the border. Israel had really shut Gaza down completely, and trying to pressure people of Gaza to push Hamas to stop shooting rockets and mortars into Israel. Israel tried to create even a further economic crisis, and they denied industrial fuel to run a turbine, so a lot of Gaza City was short of power, and even imports of milk and the kinds of things that were being allowed in before stopped. So Hamas saw this as a political opportunity to create a crisis to solve another crisis, and pushed through the border into Egypt. The Palestinians who crossed were almost like, as one of them said, birds let out of a cage. They'd been unable to travel because the crossing to Egypt through Rafah had been shut completely since June, when Hamas routed Fatah and took over Gaza. So a lot of people were going just to walk into Egypt to see friends, but mostly to buy. Prices in Egypt are much, much lower than in Gaza, which is part of a customs union with Israel. And people were stocking up, and no one stopped them. I mean, even today, there were cranes actually lifting pallets of goods up over the border into Gaza. And I think Egypt, for all kinds of reasons, you know, wants to regulate this, or at least stop it and then discuss what should happen.
Does this episode reveal something new about existence in Gaza, and does it put the whole question of Gaza's relation with Israel and with Egypt in a new place now? Has it thrown us forward now?
Well, I think it has changed the equation to some degree. Certainly Israel's experiment, really, to tighten the grip on Gaza to the point where there was no outlet to try to create pressure on Hamas, backfired, I think, through a very clever Hamas tactic. Now, whether Hamas will be able to convince Egypt to deal directly with it is not clear, but I think it would be very difficult for Hosni Mubarak, the Egyptian president, now to keep the border completely sealed over a long period of time, as it has been, to, if you like, relock the gates of Gaza with Israel in the north of it and Egypt to the south. There's a lot of pressure among his population and other Arabs, really pushed by some extreme coverage in Al Jazeera, particularly the Arabic Al Jazeera, to not push the Gazans back into a cage. One Gazan even said to me, laughing, that when he was watching Al Jazeera and it's kind of stories about the plight of Gazans. He, a Gazan, began to think that maybe, after all, he was starving, even though he isn't.
And where does this leave the relationship between Fatah and Hamas? Has this, if this seems to have strengthened Hamas, is it a defeat for Fatah? And a second question, what does the United States want out of this? Is it troubled by this?
Well, the United States has urged Egypt to restore order to the border. It is an international border, and Israel has quite legitimate security concerns. There are people who can go through that border now and go for training in Lebanon or Syria or Iran. They can smuggle in arms and other military goods. And what worries Israel is that some people, some militants, may have gone into the Sinai to try to infiltrate Israel and commit acts of terror against Israelis. The last suicide bombing in Israel was about a year ago in Eilat, and it was someone who had infiltrated from through Egyptian Sinai back into Israel. So, you know, the Israelis are pushing Cairo to restore the border and to restore the regulation of the border, and the Americans are doing the same. For Fatah, this is another embarrassment. President Mahmoud Abbas is seen by many Gazans as complicit in the Israeli effort to pressure them, to sort of tighten the lid on Hamas and to isolate it in Gaza. And Fatah has seemed kind of not sure how to respond to this change. The appointed prime minister in Ramallah, Salam Fayyad, who is not from Fatah but was appointed by Abbas, has urged the Israelis to let the Palestinian Authority take control over the Palestinian side of the border crossings from Israel into Gaza. Israel's been reluctant to do that because it obviously would alleviate the pressure on Hamas and it might, you know, give some sort of victory to Hamas. But now they're taking that idea more seriously, and perhaps it would also include, once again, the reopening of Rafah for passage for people. Israel has thought in some ways how nice it would be, having pulled its troops and its settlers out of Gaza in 2005, to wash its hands of Gaza entirely and hand it over to the Egyptians. But Egypt is not playing that game, and most of the world considers Israel still as the legal occupying power of Gaza, responsible for the welfare of Gazan citizens, you know, even if Israel's not present on the ground.
Steve, thank you very much.